Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line, Cork's 96 FM.
I mentioned James Ennard and I mentioned the interview with Tommy Tiernan, where Tommy was an emotional wreck after listening to James, and James just received the tears and the applause of the country, sustained applause, and there was clips of that interview shown right, left and centre on social media for weeks. And ever since that, I've wanted to talk to James myself, and I'm thrilled to say he's on the line now. Good morning, James.
Good morning, PJ. How are you?
Good, and welcome to the Opinion Line.
Thank you.
You have been a client of the Cork Alliance, and it's in that context we're speaking to you. How did they help you to rebuild?
I think the first interaction I had with the Cork Alliance, I think I was in Cork prison, I was about 18, and when you're coming towards the end of your sentence, the Cork Alliance get a list from the prison of who's about to be released in the next few weeks.
Right.
And so it was that then I was called to meet one of the support workers from the Cork Alliance. But when I was 18, to be honest with you, I had no concept of change or anything. I was kind of chaotic and I kind of disregarded what they said. But I went in and out of prison over the next 10 years, and every time, coming to the end of the sentence, every time I'd meet the Cork Alliance, and it was pure, unconditional, positive regard. It was like, it didn't matter how many times I was after messing up, they were always like ready to help me the next time and the next time and the next time, until eventually I was able to kind of break that cycle. And then Sheila herself has kind of supported and mentored me all through my recovery and continues to do that today.
You've described, and you did on the interview, and we've all seen the clips, how broken you were, how absolutely battered and broken you were at that point.
Yeah.
And to be sitting there in your prison cell, and time after time, you know, stint after stint, these people kept coming back and kept saying, James, we're there. Do you want to work with us? How did that feel to a fellow who was as broken as you were?
It's, a lot of the time, it's probably the only kind of, it's the only positive word you'll probably hear. You know, it's like, you can do it. We will support you. Not this type of, conversations, you know. So, but it's, as I was saying earlier on, when I was younger, I took it for granted. But then when you're getting older, 25, 26, you know, you're getting kind of more mature, you have more value in what they're saying. And even towards the end of my prison time as well, I really did want to change. And I was determined to do it. And I'd, you know, meet them every week over the course of a period of months or whatever. And then when I get out the gate, I'd have plans set up and I'd do this, that and the other. But as soon as you're released from the gate, it's like the enormity of what you're trying to do hits you, and the fear and the anxiety and the doubt, you know, the low self-esteem, the low comfort, it all just comes rushing back. And as soon as you get out that gate, it's like, who do you think you are? So what? You're never going to be able to do this. So who do you know? This is your life now, and you know, you'll never amount to anything. All this kind of negative affirmation start flooding in, and nearly always, it always did end in relapse for me. You know, I never was able to follow on with plans once I got out.
Yeah, because you'd last for so long, and then you'd say, what of it? Nobody wants me, nobody's interested, I'm never going to get a job again, no one's going to look at me twice, and there you're back on the drugs again.
Yeah, exactly. And when you think of it, when I'm in prison, Like, when I'm in prison, I'm going to the school in the morning, I'm going to the gym in the afternoon, I'm playing football in the evening, I'm going for a walk. You know, I'm eating well. My family aren't worried about me because they know where I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not strung out on drugs. I'm healthy. I have social life up there in terms of I have friends, whereas addiction can be very isolated. Well, I felt I was more free inside prison than I did on the outside, because when I got out, I was bound to a chemist or a dealer or an area. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just kind of desperate.
Why did you think that is? Because you'd come, like you say, you were healthy, eating well, in the gym, walking, running, exercising, off the drugs, etc., etc., etc. And then you come out the gate, and try to put it into words for people. You come out the gate full of, if you like, health, positivity, and right, I'm going to give it a go now.
Yeah.
What happens to reverse that?
It's just shame and guilt. An overwhelming feeling of shame and guilt. Shame for what you're after doing. Shame for how the stress you're bringing on your family. Guilt for what you're after doing. It's just an overwhelming. And then it's like you're trying to present yourself now back into your city. You haven't got the drugs as a crutch. You're just left with yourself. And it's just an overwhelming sense of fear and anxiety. And it's hard to describe, but it's like, let's say you were starting a new job in Sheila was on about a while ago. If you were moving to the opposite side of the world, mm. If you were asked to leave, say you're on the radio for a long time, yeah. if you were put in a different community where you knew nobody to do a job you never knew that you could do, you know, that's what it's like being asked to do, you know. It's like, and plus, at that stage, I was after forming this identity of I was a drug user, I was an offender, and this was the cycle, and that was kind of my identity. I know I was being asked to kind of let go of that and adopt a new identity, but it was the fear of the unknown. Even though the identity of the drug user was miserable, it was familiar to me and it was very easy to fall back into it.
Yeah. The thing about leaving the past behind, or trying to leave your own past behind, what I must envisage as very hard for people is when they come out of prison and they do reform and they do want to rebuild their lives, and they could be 6 months into it, 12 months into it, 18 months into it, and for example, they might have gotten a job, and the boss walks in one morning and says, you never told me you did time, out.
Yeah.
And that happens.
It does happen. It's all destroying. It is so destroying. And like Sheila was saying earlier on, at what stage are you allowed to let go of that identity? Like, and she gave the example of, let's say, young PJ was a hauler for his local hauling team. You would say you were 15, and next you're 40 years of age, and you meet somebody that you hadn't seen in 25 years, and they say, oh, you're still doing the hauling. You say, no, I'm 40 now. But like, say, like, if that person, Mary, a while ago, her son is in Rob Cowes. They say he doesn't see this person, and when he's 40, 25 years' time, this person says to him, oh, how are you? Are you still joyriding? It's the same thing. Like, yeah, we might have done, you know, them stupid things from, you know, years ago. But, like, if you put in a lot of hard work and you do your best to move away from it, should you be able to be, like, you know, have a new identity? You always have to be reminded of that. And I understand, like, Garda vetting and stuff is, you know, it's important in certain roles, but in other roles it's not relevant really, and there should be other ways anyway around it.
Have you made peace with any of the people that you hurt, James?
I have with some, yeah. I have with some.
What was that experience like?
Humbling. But it's just, you have to go in there, you know, with no expectation really. Apologise. But you would only do it with people that you know that would be able to receive it.
Yes. Yeah.
Other than that, then you're, like Sheila was talking again about making an amends, making an indirect amends to society. Let's say if I was a burden on society or my community in my neighbourhood, you know, I'm not going to go around knocking on everybody's door saying apologising because it's not going to be beneficial for anybody. So how I make my amends then is trying to be, you know, a supportive person in my community, someone where it's positive, you know, people can come to me. I get a load of calls and texts from people looking for support for their children, for their loved ones, you know, and that's kind of how I kind of give back to my community without actually going around door to door apologising.
Yeah, you give back in your own particular way.
Exactly, exactly. And that's like when I come into recovery, I wanted to get a job where I could actually help people, you know, and that's why I went through college. And, yeah. you know, that's the motivation. Like you
come out with first class honours, by the way. Yeah. Worth reminding people again. Fair play to you.
No doubt about it.
Well done. Well done. James, great to talk to you at last. And congratulations on your success. And for anybody who finally is either, and we do have listeners in the prison, morning lads, for someone who maybe has an end coming to their sentence, and they might be scared because they might say, what the hell am I going to do now? What would you say?
I'd say from definitely linking with Cork Alliance, and like there will be a lot of fear and anxiety when you get out, but it goes away after a few weeks. It literally leaves you after a few weeks. You'll be walking through town at the start and you won't be able to stay in a shop with panic attacks. After a few weeks, you're walking through town and you'll just realise that the fear and the panic is gone. So just once you get through the initial couple of weeks, couple of months, you know, then you start rebuilding your life, you start getting a bit of work experience, maybe do a course or something, you know, build confidence, self-esteem, and you just build momentum that way, you know. But I just went, before we finish, my friend and I, Timmy Long, after the Tommy Tierney show, I had a load of requests from people looking for help and support and direction, what have you. So we had an idea to get a podcast going. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get it live. It's called The Revival Podcast, or The Revive Podcast, yet to be confirmed. And it'll just have people in recovery give their stories. Maybe drugs workers will come on, community workers like Sheila, academics, psychologists. Maybe we get some prison officers and just get a load of different perceptions of the topic we're talking about. And hopefully it can help people and provide some knowledge and information for people.
Sounds like an incredibly interesting podcast, and I wish you well with it, James.
Not a bother. You might come on my show next time.
Do you know what? I'd be delighted. I'd consider it an honour. Take care, mate. See ya.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Cheers. That's James Leonard.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.